John Waters with you, and joining me as he does each month, and we certainly appreciate the time, U.S. Representative Cory Gardner. Good morning, Cory. Are you there? Well, hopefully we're not having an issue here. Cory, can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
There we go. All right, I think we got it back. As I talked to you about on the phone before we got started here, you're on your way back to Washington as the session gets back underway, back to the sanity of Washington, D.C., huh?
I made the comment to you that I'm leaving a place where people get their work done, their common sense, they know what to do, heading out to Washington where it seems like somehow they lose that ability to think that way.
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, you know, there's so many things that we need to talk about that it's hard to even know where to start this morning, but I guess let's start with the farm bill. Of course, it's been all over the news about the lack of the new farm bill, and maybe some of the dire conditions that that may leave agricultural producers in.
One of the things that we know businesses need to be successful, to help grow their business, the bottom line, is certainty. And that's one thing that the Farm Bill provides, is certainty. And without knowing what's going to happen with this commodity program or that commodity program, our farmers really are left without the certainty that they need to make the proper business decisions going into the new year, into the next planting season. And so I supported the Farm Bill that cut $40 billion over the next 10 years, that made significant reforms to the subsidies by eliminating direct payments, eliminating countercyclical payments. I think that's a good decision to move more toward a free market, the crop insurance, revenue assurance kind of program. On the food stamp side of things, which is 80% of the spending of the Farm Bill, by the way, it made even more reforms. It saved about $20 billion over the next 10 years. That put in various work requirements for some recipients of pilot program to do that. So it made a good program, a good steps and reform. But unfortunately, the bill did not pass. Some people thought it went too far. Some people thought it didn't go far enough. And so we lack the certainty that we need in rural America to make the best decisions for our farms and ranches.
Well, and as you mentioned, it did not pass the House, which was really, at least from my standpoint, quite a surprise.
It surprised everyone. The bill came out of the House Ag Committee with a strong bipartisan support, 36-10, both Republicans and Democrats supporting it. And then on the House floor, apparently, there were some amendments that were added to welfare reform portions of the bill that went too far, and that cost a lot of Democrat votes, and the bill ended up failing.
Yeah, well, and then you mentioned the food stamp program, or SNAP. And I know that's a real, I guess to use the term, a bone of contention as well on both sides.
Well, it is. You know, if you look at the Farm Bill, a lot of times you go out, it's called the Farm Bill for Pete's sake, and then you have people talking about farmers and ranchers and their participation, particularly on the farming side of things, in the Farm Bill. But the vast bulk of spending over the 10-year spending window of the bill is dealing with SNAP, or the welfare food stamp provisions, the food nutrition programs. And so there's talks about whether or not people should split it into two bills, and that may be exactly what happens as we head back to Washington during the July work session.
Well, and then, of course, the other thing, and this isn't just true of the Farm Bill, it's true of practically every bill, is that what happens on the House side, many times you hear Senate Leader Harry Reid say, well, that's dead on arrival before it ever gets here.
It is amazing to me that that happens so much of the time, because I constantly hear from people saying, well, the Senate has done this, why don't you guys? But nobody seems to ask the Senate, saying, well, the House passed a student loan package bill, the House passed a bill to deal with energy costs, the House passed a bill, and they don't seem to give any kind of second thought to allowing Harry Reid an excuse to just say, well, it's dead on arrival, and that's that.
Yeah, it's just very interesting times right now in Washington, D.C., and I'm sure even more so for you as you head back there. It's got to be just very, very frustrating at times.
Well, it is, because you have things like the Farm Bill that are good, responsible pieces of legislation, and they don't pass, and I think that's bad policy for the American farmer when things like that can't make it across the finish line. But I'm committed to seeing that it gets done. I've talked to House leadership numerous times and pushed them to make sure that we get this bill put in place before we go home for the end of the August work period.
My guest is U.S. Representative Cory Gardner this morning. Let's move on to another contentious issue, and that's the issue of immigration. And it seems like every day there's more and more in the news about this coming off Capitol Hill.
Immigration reform is one of the most difficult issues that this Congress will be dealing with and is dealing with, but it's also one of the most important that we can deal with. I think by all accounts, we've seen our immigration system that is broken laws not being enforced. That's why I support an immigration reform bill that will put border security first to enforce our laws and make sure those laws are enforced. And so before you can do anything else, and once you know that the borders are secure, once you know that we've enforced and can enforce existing laws, then we can move forward with other reforms. But we need an E-Verify system in place. We need a guest worker program in place. But these are things that we could do responsibly, and we know we need to do in a way that is to the best interest of a healthy American economy.
Well, it seems like you have, I guess I'll use the word factions, diametrically opposed when it comes to immigration, from those who say we need to just open up the borders, let everybody in, give them amnesty, and life will be great, to those on the other side that say we need to lock the borders down and keep track of every single person that tries to come across and make sure they come across legally. And then I guess you probably have most of America that falls somewhere in between that.
Well, I believe we are a country that values immigration. Heck, we're a nation of immigrants. My family, as did most families, came into this country from somewhere else. And so recognizing that we are a nation of immigrants and also a nation of laws, we can put together a responsible reform package. The immigrants today add a great deal to our communities, our healthy communities, our healthy economy, and the way that we live, work, and our friends at school. So the fact is, we can put together a immigration package that reflects those values, but do so in a way that we don't repeat the mistakes of the 1986 law, mm-hmm. which did result in an amnesty type of program. And then, because right now, if we put something in place that 30 years from now we have to redo, then really we didn't do the right thing. And so how can we put a step-by-step plan in place that 30 years from today we look back on and say, you know what, it worked, it secured the border, we're able to enforce it, and as a result, people who want to be in this country legally are able to do so.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, U.S. Representative Cory Gardner with me. We didn't talk about this beforehand, Cory, but I wanted to touch on it a little bit, and that is the Obamacare package. And we're seeing in the news now where parts of it are being delayed. And there's just, I guess in my estimation, there's an awful lot of fish smell coming out of this.
Well, this is a sheer political calculation on behalf of the president. He knows that this bill is actually growing less and less popular as we get closer and closer to implementation. Their thought was that if they passed it, people would then start to like it, that the American people are smarter than that. They know this is a raw deal for the American public. As a result, you've got an election coming up in 2014. The majority in the U.S. Senate is on the line, and the president decided he did not want this train wreck happening during the middle of an election. And so that's exactly what he did. He delayed it so that it would be outside of an election. This is purely political, a decision that he's done because he doesn't want to have the embarrassment of the Obamacare train wreck happening in the middle of an election that could risk the rest of his progressive agenda.
Well, and you mentioned that Americans are smarter than that, and let's hope that's the case, and that that it's not a case of out of sight, out of mind.
Well, I think the American people have watched the news, read the newspapers enough to know that when Harry Reid and Max Baucus, the two Democrat architects of the bill, say that it is going to be the health care bill, say that the health care bill is going to be a train wreck, that they recognize that because they've gone through, they've gotten the letters saying that their health insurance costs are going to go up, or they've found how difficult it can be to find affordable insurance. And so they know it, they've seen it, and I don't think it's going to be out of sight because it's going to be in the news more and more as that implementation comes up.
Cory Gardner with me, U.S. Representative. There's some appropriations bills coming up we needed to touch on this morning, too, Cory.
We've got the appropriations bills, which are the bills that fund government that are coming due. The first one up this week will be energy and water development. That controls the funding for things like Department of Energy and, of course, a lot of Corps of Engineers projects, so drinking water systems, waterways, And then later on this month we'll be dealing with the ag appropriations bill, but a lot of that will depend on the farm bill fare, how well the farm bill fares in the next couple of weeks as well. So the appropriations bills have got to be in place by September 30th, because that's the day that the government's fiscal year ends.
But I'm sure, as with everything else right now, or it seems like everything else, there will be much contention between the two sides.
Well, there will be a little bit. I think we've actually seen some bipartisan support of a couple of the appropriations bills, and I'm always hopeful that we'll find more. But the bottom line is, this country continues to have a spending problem and a government that is growing and growing, and that needs to be brought back into a little bit of reality. So we've got to find those opportunities to reduce spending, and here's a good place for us to do it.
I guess, to use a more biblical term, much wailing and gnashing of teeth.
There will be some of that.
We also, coming up later on in the year, we might as well touch on it. We're going to be up against the debt ceiling again, and, you know, there's always those budget issues.
It is, and that's a big part of the discussion, too. And so with the debt ceiling, of course, is the maximum that the United States can borrow. Now, what's unique about the debt ceiling is it's not a debate over how much more you can borrow to spend as new money. It's about how much you can borrow to pay for money that you've already spent. And so it's money that's already been spent, and the U.S. has to borrow it in order to keep up with it. And so it's a debt ceiling limit in that sense. But we've got to use this opportunity to reduce the size and scope of government. How we can require opportunities to look for savings, look for cuts, and what we're going to do to grow the economy through common sense tax reform. I think it presents great opportunities for us to get back on track.
Once again, U.S. Representative Cory Gardner with me, and I appreciate your time so much this morning, Cory. Just one more thing we wanted to touch on that's been in the news that is so important and touches so many people, and that is student loans and the doubling of the interest rate on some student loans.
That's right. So if you're getting a student loan, the student loan rate went from about 3.2% to over 6%, doubled overnight. The House of Representatives has acted. We took a proposal very similar to what the President was supporting in his budget, his 2013-2014 budget. We took that idea, introduced it, passed it, and now we're waiting for the Senate to act. And so it's unfortunate that the Senate is playing politics, but I hope that they will come to their senses and make sure that we provide relief on student loans, because it is one of the growing areas of concern that we have, the amount of debt that students are facing around this country.
Yeah, well, when you have students coming out of college before they ever get a job in their chosen career, owing tens and tens of thousands, sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars in student loans, starting off in a huge hole, and then this just makes that hole that much bigger.
You're right. So I spoke to a couple. They're going to graduate school. One of them is going to the medical school. Between the two of them, they owe over $600,000
wow.
in student loan debt. And I can't even imagine where to begin with that.
Yeah, absolutely right. Well, the session begins again today after the 4th of July holiday. So hopefully some good news will come out of Washington over the next days and weeks.
Well, the American people are watching, and of course, we owe it to them to do what's right.
Yeah. U.S. Representative Cory Gardner, how can folks get a hold of you, Cory?
Always love to hear from everybody. You can send me an email at cory.gardner@mail.house.gov. Give us a holler at 202-225-4676. We're on Facebook, Twitter. It's always great to hear from the people of Eastern Colorado, and look forward to hearing from them.
All right. U.S. Representative Cory Gardner, as always, we appreciate your time and your willingness to visit with us, Cory.
Hey, thanks, John. Thanks for having me. And everybody have a safe harvest.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Again, U.S. Representative Cory Gardner joining me here on the program this morning. Always willing to give us as much time as we need, and as busy as his schedule is, can't even express how much I appreciate that